Well, good morning and welcome to chapel this morning. A special welcome if you're new or a visitor. We have with us bringing the blessings of her church at Paraskevianthi, Maria. Maria is June's carer for a few weeks, so it's nice to see her. Yeah. And from that church is an Orthodox Christian church we've been chatting about. Not a visitor at all. Hoppy is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. So it's great to see Dave. All the notices are on the prayer. I've dropped my on the usual prayer diary, an all important prayer diary, which is on the website as well. This morning's title is Living for God. So everything we'll be thinking of will be living for God, and we'll be basing our thoughts on 1 Peter chapter 4, first 11 verses. And if you'd like to be, maybe start to be finding those, because we're going to do our reading pretty early on, straight after the first song. A couple of extra notices. Harvest has been and gone. And did you spot, I've unearthed, dusted down the autumnal welcome screen. The cricket season is finished. Let's do it all together. Yeah. And for the best part, Hops and I are back in long trousers. So that can only mean one thing. It's shoebox time. The official UK launch is actually next week, but we're starting now. So just to let you know, we're thinking all about the shoeboxes. Jenny's kind of in charge. We've got access to the boxes there. You can use a box from High Street, whatever, cover it, sometimes nice. But we've got the pre-made boxes. I can help you fold them up. Got lots of those on order and available. Helen and Mum and Angela are great champions of this. See them over the coming weeks. I'll put some slides up and there'll be leaflets about what we can and can't include with the boxes. But I thought that is just the best advert. You don't need me waffling on, just to see the lovely faces. And these go out to all sorts of places and they've got nothing quite often. And it's a great blessing. And although we can't put biblical stuff in, it's spreading the Lord's love for sure. A quick thanks to everyone who helped making last week a success with Harvest, not least Alan. Thank you for being in charge, being with us. And I've got a few more pictures that I'll pop up during coffee time. All importantly, what it's all about, a big thanks from the food bank. Steve and Carol, dear Steve and Carol, came and picked up mountains of stuff. We had lots of boxes this time, and they took them down, and the food bank were really appreciative, and that's gone to where it really needs to go, which has been great. Very briefly, I had a note from Eric Moore. We're seeing Eric in a few weeks, but he's a great advocate of the combined services. And the 20th, Sunday the 20th, so that is not next week, week after. And that's at Upst. And he has said, which was news to Gwendy, see Gwendy, our Gwendy, if you can come or you want to help with food or etc. To that end, Jenny's let me know, we've got the combined service at the Big Harvest Celebration at Biddeford Baptist tonight at 6:30. So pop along to Mill Street if you'd like to and see that and take part. This week does see the start of our prayer meeting here at the new time, so it's not so dark, not so cold. We'll have the heating on. That's Wednesday at 5 o'clock. It's in the notice sheet. Wednesday at 5 o'clock, if you can come along, or if or unavoidably detained, why not set that time apart and pray for the folk that are here, and we can join us at church just as the same. final little notice, and this one's kind of mine, we won't dwell on it. My YouTube feed, because it knew that I've looked up things like what can we do for living for God, brought this up. And I looked at it briefly. For those of you who don't know, Russell Brand has, over the past best part of a decade, been a sort of edgy, contemporary, can we say comedian, that has been specialising in either gossip or slightly questionable, inappropriate material. And I think that's being kind. I looked into this, and I thought, well, we'll give him a chance because somebody might ask me about it. Somebody that knows me, knows basically what I believe in, might ask me. After a minute, I couldn't find fault. After 8 minutes, 39 seconds, I couldn't find fault. I talked to Hoppy, I talked to Jenny, and they both said, no, I think this is absolutely kosher. So we don't base great faith on this, but we give thanks to the Lord for, it's like unbelievable, isn't it, that somebody can do a turnaround, and whether, we don't know, we shouldn't question it, but whether it's publicity or what, it's absolutely appears kosher, and it's miraculous. It's to do with Bear Grylls as well, who we know is very grounded. So let's, in a moment, we'll be praying that it's not Stony Path kind of territory, because that really is amazing. Okay, let's do that now. Let's open our service as we commit our time to the Lord in prayer, and let's do the family prayer together. The words will be on the screen at the end. Shall we pray? So, dear Lord, we just praise and thank you for how you care for each one of us. And we thank you for all miraculous news, for that gift of salvation. What's impossible in our eyes is just part of your plan for you. And just help us not to be limited by our faith, but to not get in the way, and instead believe and just facilitate however we can. Bless our time together now, we pray, and thank you for our chapel, thank you for our fellowship and friends, and thank you for this morning's collection and the electronic gifts given already this week. May all these monies just go towards the work of extending your kingdom and glorifying you out from this small place. And now we'll just pray together the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Shall we stand together, only a fable, and sing our first song? If you prefer the books, that's 279. Words will be on the screen. I know not why. And we were thinking very much the line that I know which I've committed, in a wholehearted commitment. I know what I've committed. Thank you. Oh, not my God's wondrous grace.
Saving faith to me, he did impart.
Please be seated. So straight off the bat, we'll get straight into our reading, which is 1 Peter chapter 4, first 11 verses, if you want to find it. Or the words will be on the screen, or just listen to my voice. Living for God. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their recklessness, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I faltered there just in the middle, because that was really just like the Russell Brand story, wasn't it? I didn't think to say that, but that first paragraph really was. Which is wonderful. As I said, we'll just give the glory to him. Hoppy and I talked about a suitable sort of little lead-in, a foundation stone, and a base camp we thought for Living for God, our title, Living for God, can be making a stand and commitment, and moreover, a wholehearted like commitment, and like we've already been singing about. We are chosen, but we need to say yes and choose that yes. And to that end, here's a simple illustration, a simple little movie clip. I got Hoppy to help me, so finding movie clips is easy. And it's going to be from Aliens. So how often has Aliens been mentioned from this pulpit? Yes, I heard it. That's the first time, really. Yeah. But unfortunately, you've got me, and that's the first thing I thought of. So this is Aliens, 1986. And way back then, I must have been two, I guess, or something like that. It struck me when Ripley, who you'll see in a minute, our heroine, for those who don't know, for Sigourney Weaver, when Ripley said this, "I'm happy to disappoint you." I wasn't a Christian then, but I thought, yeah, when I stand up and do something that's a bit hard, like, shall we say, the narrow path, the right way, that's quite a... where a sack might be perceived as weak, being a bit of a softy, "I'm happy to disappoint you" is really, really strong. And Ripley, in the little clip I'm going to show you on the left here, is standing up for what's right. Burke, the company, sleazy company, money-grubbing man, he's on the right, starts off the film, they're friends. They get on together. And when that happens, it's doubly difficult, isn't it, to like go again. You want a friendship to remain. You want to agree with each other. And Burke just assumes, because Ripley's very strong and tough, that she's going to choose the wrong thing. She's going to be the tough guy, the hard nose, and easily go with the wrong way. Even though she's the heroine, as it were, she has to stand up for what's right. Have a look at the clip. It's only just a couple of seconds. They argue, but don't worry, it's the Disney version. In fact, I think versions. And just hear how she stands up, as I say. Here we go.
Look, those two specimens are worth millions to the bioweapons division, right? Now, if you're smart, we can be heroes, and we will be set up for life.
You're crazy, Bert. Do you know that? Do you really think you can get a dangerous organism like that past ICC quarantine?
How can they impound it if they don't know about it?
For me, just like they'll know that you were responsible for the deaths of 157 colonists.
Wait a second.
You sent them to that ship.
You're wrong.
I just checked the colony log. Directive dated 6-12-79, signed Burke, Carter J. You sent them out there and you didn't even warn them. Why didn't you warn them, Burke?
Okay, look. What if that ship didn't even exist? Did you ever think about that? I didn't know. So now if I went and made a major security situation out of it, everybody steps in, administration steps in, and there's no exclusive rights for anybody. Nobody wins. So I made a decision, and it was wrong. It was a bad call, Ripley. It was a bad call.
Bad call? Burke. These people are dead, Burke! Don't you have any idea what you've done here? Well, I'm going to make sure that they nail you right to the wall for this. You're not going to sleaze your way out of this one. Right to the wall.
Ripley, I expected more from you. I thought you'd be smarter than this.
I'm happy to disappoint you.
Quite powerful, isn't it? I'm happy to disappoint you. She chooses the wholehearted way. Living for God... I don't know what this slide is about. It just was a pretty picture and that I found. I don't know if that's Manhattan Island or whatever, but Living for God. Very briefly, one of my favourite poems, Robert Frost. There isn't time to go all through it, but the road not taken, or in the poem it's like the least taken. There's another picture of the same poem by Frost. The narrow path, the road less trod, can be difficult. As we just close there, making a stand, it can be difficult, can't it? As you say, standing up for things. Just a quick couple of thoughts as a base camp. In avoiding the double negative, I don't think I'll put in even one negative. Joining in by laughing at some jokes or not laughing, when we're in a crowd or whatever, sometimes nobody might even mean to be either mean or slightly edgy, but sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? And we can make a stand there. Doesn't have to be as powerful as Ripley's not taking the aliens back to Earth. Free photocopying at work. I wasn't going to say it, but the tiny little story. Now, we don't have to be goody two shoes, but there's ways of doing things. And many years ago, when I was working at a newspaper, even the production manager, it was like upstairs, downstairs, the studio upstairs. We used the photocopier downstairs, and he said, you can use it for your own bits. And often used it, I just felt guilty, and I thought it might not be completely upfront, so I sawed up a yogurt cup and I used it and I put 5p in. It was before the days where we used cards all the time, so everyone had got like a pocket full of change all the time. And somebody asked me upstairs, and I said, I just feel a bit guilty. You've always got 5p in your pocket. And of course, it became obvious, and even the production manager sort of started doing that. And of course, the downstairs staff, where the big wigs were, they asked us about it eventually. And we said, that's when we use it for ourselves. And the MD, who was a lady, she was lovely, Sarah, and one day she said about it, and she said, what's that big pot of money there? And he said, well, I know we maybe could, but... everybody upstairs, and she was so impressed. She said, you can keep using it. have the pot, keep doing that, because I might be asked, but get buns. So I don't know what they thought when I started it, but maybe I wasn't flavour of the month. I was a bit of a hero in the end, because we got a big pot of money and he had to go out and get buns for us. So I didn't mean that, but it can work. And then finally, what was that? Supporting right when it costs you. And that can be difficult, can't it? Supporting the right way. Okay, I hope that's helpful as a base camp as we think more on living for God. So let's stand and sing again if we can. 4-2-3, living under the shadow. And we can certainly do that. We can't do these things in our own strength, but we can live under the shadow of his wings. Be seated.
Ah, good morning. Are you all right?
Yeah, yes, back again. Can you believe
that? Oh, gosh. That's right. Do come in.
Yeah, I've got a bit long.
How's the family?
Oh, they're still all right.
All right. And the kids? All right.
Well, you know how it is.
Oh, right.
Right. Well.
Oh, you're back really soon then. Do you want me to take a bit more off this time?
Yeah, maybe not.
Oh, okay, just a normal amount.
Just the normal.
Okay, right. So that's fine. Well, I'm pleased you come back anyway.
Yes. Well, I had to come back again.
Why? Why is that?
Well, because we've got another sermon to discuss.
Oh, right. What was it this time? Custard creams again?
No. In church this week, we're thinking about what it means to be living for God.
Oh, boom, that sounds quite heavy.
Yes, and no. I was thinking about how Jesus gave himself wholeheartedly for us.
Sorry, I lost my place. I've actually snipped.
Sorry,
it's a hairdresser. Sheila's not here. It's nothing I can't fix.
No, that's fine. Anyway,
right, okay, Jesus, sorry.
Jesus gave himself wholeheartedly.
Okay, right. What does that mean?
Well, I think you could say it's a bit like bacon and egg.
Right, okay. I don't think there was much bacon and egg going on in Jesus' culture.
No, they didn't need much bacon, I don't think. But think about the chicken and the pig.
Ah, right. I chickened once. It kept crossing the road.
Yeah, well, it would, wouldn't it? But I mean the chicken and the pig in relation to bacon and egg.
Oh, right. Okay, go on.
Well, the chicken provides an egg, doesn't it? It makes a contribution.
I like my eggs fried, sunny side up.
Okay, fair enough. But the pig is different. Uh-huh. He doesn't just provide the bacon. He goes all in.
Oh.
He doesn't just make a contribution, does he? He's fully committed.
Oh, you mean it costs him everything?
Yes. Yep, the pig just has to give it all, doesn't he? And Jesus gave everything. No matter what it cost him, you could say he was fully committed.
It's like wholeheartedly, you mean?
Absolutely.
So, we should eat more bacon sandwiches?
Well, no, that isn't quite what I mean. No, we need to aim to be more wholehearted ourselves.
Ah, right. I've got you.
Yeah. It's a snip.
It's a snip. There we go.
Very good.
Yes.
I can't tell it.
No. Great. Okay. Very good. Did you notice Alan stole his line back? I used your sanctimonious, not sanctimonious, instead only I said sanctified, apparently. And you stole that line back last week. It's yours to keep, Alan. Great. Barry's going to come up and help us and guide us wonderfully through our prayers of intercession now. Thank you, Barry.
Thank you. What we'll do is I'll suggest some subjects, and then we'll have a few moments of quiet, and then I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and the idea is that you say, hear our prayer. All right? Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Oh, good. That's good. Now, we've sung our praises to God, and now we ask him to intercede for us in many situations. Let us pray. First of all, let us think of those in our congregation who are sick and suffering in various ways, and many of us are. And in a moment of silence, please lift up names. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we have various events coming ahead along. As we mentioned, tonight a joint service at the Baptist Church. We've got a prayer meeting on Wednesday, and then looking ahead, the Tear Fund quiz on November the 16th. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will oversee these events. Pray that people will attend and will be touched by them. And we said or done that would bring dishonour to your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, as we look beyond these walls and we look at our town and our village, there are so many people in need. There is so much anger. Lord, we pray for wisdom as we interact with these various people that we know. And perhaps now in the silence you can think of someone and you can pray directly for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we look wider, Lord, we pray for our country. There just seems to be so much violence. There seems to be so much anger. We pray that as Christians we can influence politicians and leaders of the community. We pray for our Prime Minister and the Cabinet as they deal with such difficult problems. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now, the Baptist Missionary Society have specifically asked us to remember this morning Lebanon. Some words are going to appear up there, and I will lead our thoughts through there. And then at the end of that, we will say amen. But you've seen on the news, maybe today, even more explosions in Beirut. Heavenly Father, we pray that people will hear of you and that those responding to the crisis will glorify you and shine bright in such dark times. We pray that the peace of Christ will guard the hearts and minds of those in Lebanon and that God will give them the strength and wisdom needed to meet the needs of the displaced. Above all, Lord, we pray for peace and for safety of all, whether in the homes or on the streets or in the shelters. We continue to ask God to bring an end to the violence and the suffering that's resulting from it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And the people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Barry. So we're going to stand and sing again before we welcome Hoppy back up here. Just to say, it's the last we'll see of Hoppy this year until well into next year. So we could do an R there. So thank you, Dave. But we look forward to us into next year, which means I won't be stood up here again until then, maybe, God willing. I just wanted to very briefly say it's a great honour and such a privilege to try and help out in this little way. And compared with scary, unscripted world out there, I find it a bit easier. And just of late, down to a few, the big, scary, unscripted world is really difficult at the moment. So I'm just looking around to a man. Thank you very much for your support, for your help, because it's absolutely necessary. So thank you. Okay, let's sing again. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
Say. Amen. It's lovely to be back here again, and great. That's the third time I've been to the barber's here in the past, what, 4 or 5 weeks, isn't it, Nick? So maybe next time I'm back next year, we'll do it all again. It's been great to do the little sketches we've been done. But so this morning, continuing with the book of Peter, well, letter from Peter. And it's amazing, you know, to think when we read some of this stuff, this is the Peter that, you know, made so many mistakes that we can read about in the Gospels. I love that. I love that, you know, we know that we're these kind of people who make loads of mistakes and also will be used by God amazingly with all our messing and fumbling and faith and doubt and questions and answers and courage and fear. You know, this is, you know, this Peter who denied Jesus famously, and we all know about that. Sometimes wonder if Peter looks down thinking, why did they put all that bit in the Bible about me getting it wrong? But we also have this from him, this amazing letter. So I just highlighted three things that come up in that letter, because there's loads of things, really. Suffering, as in it's not easy, you know. Life isn't easy, and sometimes becoming a Christian actually makes it harder for us. As, you know, Nick was saying, really, some of those examples, you know, really down-to-earth things in our lives that are, you know, making difficult decisions because we're Christians. And even the small things really matter, don't they, at times? And it talks about we've got different gifts, and we're all different people, all unique, and the call to be wholehearted, as we've been thinking about, and we'll come back to that. But I thought I'd show you this another little clip. This is just an illustration that actually, although sometimes life's and it's straightforward, this is a great moment from the film The Mission, where Jeremy Irons, the character Jeremy Irons, he's a monk, he's a brother, he's a man of faith, and this is a great kind of moment to illustrate the struggles of life live out. And he's climbing this amazing waterfall, and he's climbing it barefoot. And, you know, and sometimes that's what life feels like, isn't it? Running a race or climbing a waterfall, and it's not easy. Just a moment to reflect on that, really. Have a look at this. Just a couple of thoughts on that. There's that interesting moment when two of the other brothers are down the bottom, and one of them is just reading. I don't know if he's reading the Bible or a prayer book. And we get our instruction and our, you know, like we're thinking about this morning from that. But it's all about being involved, isn't it? It's not just what we can, just about reading about Jesus. It's about following Jesus. And of course, you've got that beautiful music by Ennio Morricone playing in the background. Beautiful music from The Mission. And to me, that kind of, you know, I was watching it thinking, you know, in a way that's like the quiet power of the Spirit in our lives. We're not asked to do this on our own. We've got the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us to keep on going, even when it feels like a tough climb like that, really. But we're not doing this alone. I think I mentioned last time, I might have mentioned it. Jesus asks us to take up two things, doesn't he? He says, take up your cross, and he says, take my yoke upon you. And the two of them work together. So the cross is all about the challenge, the climbing. But the yoke of Jesus, which Jesus says is gentle and kind, and it calls us into this way of being where our lives are knitted with him, and he is our strength, and he is our help. So it's not just take up your cross, it's take up the yoke of Jesus, take his way, and that will help us in the climbing and as we carry our cross. So this is what Nick read to us. Well done, Nick. Some tough words in here. Shows you actually how unusual the English language is, isn't it? With some of the, not least carousing, which was a word we don't use very much, really. But, Peter highlighting again, really, the temptations that bombard us in life, that come at us in life, really. And that aliens clip was very interesting because the way people manipulate their words towards the end, just before she says, I'm happy to disappoint you, he says, I expected more of you than that. Now, that was a lie. It would have been less of her. To go the wrong way would have made her less of a person, not more. But he manipulated his words. You know, he tried to make her feel small. I expected more of you. And we can be up against those kind of manipulations in our life. And Peter highlights those here, really. And you know what Nick was saying about what we have to choose not to join in with. You do not join in with their reckless living. You know, sometimes when we're invited into these different ways of life, which are not according to Jesus. But again, we're reminded about the Spirit there at the bottom. Live according to God in regard to the Spirit. We have to help us. And, you know, the context here, I always find it interesting when you read in the Bible, they were absolutely convinced Jesus was coming back. I suppose if you think about how the Gospels ended, you know, they end with Jesus, you know, takes them up the mountain and he says goodbye to them and he tells them he's coming back soon. And they might have thought, well, we'll give it a week. We'll be back in a week. They had no idea, did they? As we have no idea. So they often write, you know, the end of it all is near. Well, that was 2,000 years ago, and we're still waiting. And sometimes we're convinced, aren't we, that the end of all things is near, and it might be. But, of course, we're called to keep following, however we see that. We're called to keep following. That's what's important, to be faithful stewards of God's grace. And that phrase is interesting, isn't it? God's grace, God's goodness, God's love, God's kindness, that's working in our lives and out to others. We're faithful carriers of that in the world. And this is the gifts bit, which I will come back to, actually. You know, just saying that we have lots of different ways that we can carry that grace. And I wonder what sort of person you are, because the way you will carry it is different to the way the person next to you will do it. And I think often the worst thing we can do is try and squash ourselves into a Christian box. Because that isn't what Jesus has called. He's called you and I to be the people that that we are. So, for example, Nick will think of a clip from Aliens. I will take the clips I've picked just to illustrate these things. Because we're different people. We think differently. And God goes, brilliant, use what you can. Be the people I've made you to be. And do these things and honour me as you do them. So we'll come back to that. Now, there's a phrase in the Bible that all we like sheep, it's from Isaiah 53, I think it is, all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, I think you could easily say all we like cats have gone astray. Don't know if there's any cat lovers in, but at least you can herd sheep, can't you? Ever tried herding cats? You know? So here's just a silly little moment, really, to remind ourselves we can be as daft as cats sometimes, which is what that passage talks about, how we can make our bad decisions at times.
Thank you.
not a bad example, actually, the way we can set our eyes on the things of God and the kingdom of God, like those cats. Those cats, most of them are looking at something that's just too far to reach. And they try and reach it and fall flat on their faces. We cannot reach these things of God on our own. That's why Jesus has come. He's given everything so that we reach him. We reach these things through him. Without him, we're lost. Without him, we'll be like these cats jumping and smashing on our chins or pulling the toaster on top of us or whatever. You know, we need Jesus, don't we, to do that with, through us and in us. So just back to the sketch for a little moment. I nicked that example. I've heard it years ago. You know, the difference between a pig and the chicken. The chicken will give you an egg and it'll give you another one, and it'll give you another one. But the pig, if the pig, I don't know if you like bacon or not, apologies. But if the pig gives you the bacon, it's not coming back again, is it? That's the end of the pig. It's totally committed. And that was what Jesus was like. You know, at one point, I think, again, it, maybe I've shared with this with you before, but he talked about how he was like a mother hen. It was when he was looking at Jerusalem, and how he wanted to gather his children like a mother hen gathers her chicks. Now, in Psalm 91, it talks about that. It talks about how we can gather under the wings. We sang Living Under the Shadow of Your Wing. And Psalm 91 talks about how we can gather for safety under the wings of God. And Jesus used that picture, but it was even more powerful, because if a mother hen gathered her chicks to protect them under her wings, it meant that there was a fire going on. And if there was a fire going on near the mother hen, she will die. It will kill her. But the chicks won't die because they're protected under her wing. And what Jesus was kind of pointing towards was he was going to die so that we might have life. We're the chicks. And Jesus is like the mother hen who will give everything, totally committed for us, and to give us a new life that we're all experiencing now. And I just put up there that little, this is a Jewish saying, how we do one thing is how we do everything, which kind of comes back to what Nick was saying about how we, you know, what, you know, the photocopier, how we use the photocopier. You know, we can't sort of just say, well, on a Sunday I'll be really spiritual and I'll do all the right things, but on Monday it's different. The Jewish saying is, whatever you do, you know, do it for God, basically. How you do that one thing, that affects how you do everything. Just, I haven't got the clip, but I recently watched for the first time The Godfather. And there's a very interesting scene towards the end of that film which really highlights this kind of thing about it's not what you say, it's what you do that really matters. Because I don't know if you know The Godfather, but Michael Corleone, who's the big father at that point, the big godfather, he's gone to church because he's a member of his family, a little baby's been baptized, and he's one of the godparents. And the you know, he's asked to make the promises. Do you turn to Jesus? Do you turn away from sin? And even as he's saying these things, yes, I turn away from sin, we cut to his men outside the church killing all his enemies. Do you turn away from sin? Yes, I turn away from sin. Bang! He's killing all the people he doesn't like. It's a brilliant example that following Jesus is not about what you say. Because he was saying all the right things in that church, but he'd commissioned all the wrong things in his life. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's how we do, how we did one thing, how we do each thing, how, you know, it all, it's all tied together, really. And of course, it mentions here about the gifts that we have. And I don't know, sometimes we can be overly humble. I'm all for humility, to be honest, in this age when everyone's talking about being proud of this and proud of that. I think humility is a lost art. But we can also recognize that we have gifts. So I wonder what gifts you have. Because you'll be able to do stuff, you'll be interested in stuff. I'm interested in films. It's one of the gifts I bring to everything I do. You know, I love pop music. I bring that into when I'm sharing my faith. It doesn't have to sound Christian or spiritual, but you will have things that you're good at and that you, you know, can do. My wife is a great listener. She's one of the best listeners I've ever met, because when you talk to her, she doesn't talk back. She just listens. It's a brilliant gift to have. She's brilliant at it. She has loads of other gifts as well. She gives me all the best ideas for my talks, basically. I nick a lot of what she says, really. But, you know, we're all different, aren't we? Some of us love science or cookery or athletics, cricket, you know, all that we have going on in our lives, don't we? And we can bring it all to God. Just bring it all to God. Don't hold anything back, because that's wholehearted, isn't it? That's wholeheartedness, really. And so, you know, he, basically, Peter's saying here, whatever you do, it's in service of God. Even if it, you know, it doesn't feel Christian or anything, don't worry about that. Just give everything you've got for God, so he can do what he wants with it. He can speak through it to other people. And like, you know, with you, the Christmas boxes that Nick was telling us about, you don't put anything specifically Christian in there. I mean, I didn't know that, but I heard that from what Nick was saying. But that doesn't make it any less Christian, isn't it? That's an amazing thing, touching those children's lives with what you're bringing into their lives. And Jesus loves that, doesn't he? That's another way that you're sharing the gifts that you have. So I thought I'd show you a little bit from Chariots of Fire, which is the story of two athletes, Eric Liddell and Harold Abrahams. But this is Ian Charlson here playing Eric Liddell. And this was the moment towards the end of the film where he'd chosen not to run in the 100 metres or 100 yards as it was then, because to him it wasn't honouring God. So he made that tough choice. And he stayed with that most of his life, not training on a Sunday, not running on a Sunday, because the heats to train for that. And the relay, he gave up his place in the relay team as well, because the heats were on a Sunday. So he made a lot of sacrifices. And there's this lovely moment where one of the other athletes, not in the race, he's just watching, one of the Americans, but gives him this little quote from the Bible that I've put up here, 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, "Those who honour me, I will honour." And of course it's relating to Eric as honoured God with his running here. So just have a watch of this moment. I think he broke the world record on that occasion as well. And he hadn't trained for that race. He could run the 400 metres. He did run those races. But he hadn't particularly trained to do that in the Olympics, and he broke the world record. Amazing. And I remember Ian Charlson talking about when he was training, preparing to do the Eric Liddell character. He said that Eric really did that, putting his head back when he came down the last part of the race. And he said what it reminded him was, Ian Charlson said, the exercises he'd done at drama school. And there was a sense that Eric just kind of trusted himself into the hands of God when he ran that last part of the race. And there was one time when he actually did break his rule of running on a Sunday. And it's quite significant. He was in a Japanese internment camp towards the end of his life, as it turned out, because he died there. But he, the Japanese invaded China where he went, and they put him and others in an internment camp. And the teenagers were running wild on a Sunday. They had nothing to do. So Eric broke his own rule and he started to do athletics with them on a Sunday, because that was more honouring to God to care for those teenagers than to actually say, well, I don't run on a Sunday. He, in that moment, he knew what he had to do. And the little quote that you heard there goes something like this: God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. And I love that, because again, coming back to the gifts, you know, Eric believed he'd been made by God to do two things: to go to China as a missionary, which he did, and to run fast. Both of those things equally important. God had made him fast. And he carried on running when he was in China. He entered competitions and races. And there's a lovely moment about him when he was in one competition which he won, and he waited for the national anthem or the different music to be played and the awards to be given out. But he had to catch a ferry. And the moment that music stopped, he started running again. And he ran and he ran to catch his ferry. And as he got to the dock, the ferry was pulling out. So he did a long jump. And he just jumped. That was his wholehearted approach to life, really. And I just, you know, I read this the other day that I thought I would just share with you, really. I think it's from one of the 24/7 prayer books, but I can't quite remember. It might have been from a Daily Bible Thought. But it was just this bit under yellow that I wanted to, that I've underlined in yellow. God is at work taking everything that goes on in our lives and weaving it into his salvation story. You know, even when it's a real struggle and when times are hard, it doesn't mean that God is not using us and part of us and being with us. And the whole of our lives become part of his salvation story. That's really important to say. And I was talking to someone this week about repentance. And she was saying, you know, one of the definitions of repentance could be not just so much turning away from the bad stuff in our lives and turning towards God, but turning all of our lives to God, the bad stuff as well. Because if we're honest, we're Christians, but we still wrestle with all this bad stuff. We still make the wrong mistakes. But we can turn everything that we are to God. That's our repentance. Or the stuff we're ashamed of, the stuff that we fail at, as well as the stuff we're good at. We turn everything to God, and we keep on having to do that, because, of course, we often lose sight of God and turn away. I wanted to give you this little bit from Deuteronomy, because I find this really helpful. This happens a lot in the Bible, okay? The people are told to remember what God did for them in the past. Remember the times when you saw God helping you, when you saw God bringing his life into yours. Watch out, they're told in Deuteronomy. Be very careful never to forget what you have seen the Lord do for you. Do not let these things escape from your mind as long as you live. And they're told to wear them on their arms and on their heads. Make, you know, put them somewhere, you know. And I think the person writing about this said, you know, put, stick up little Bible bits in your house somewhere. Things that will remind you, or little bits that God has done for you, because that will help your faith today. What God has done in the past will give you more faith to help you keep going for today. Remembering what God has done for us can help us to keep going today. It's vital, and it's a biblical principle. God keeps telling the people, remember what I did, because it'll help you keep going. And the Psalms are full of the accounts of them being set free from Egypt. Time and again in the Psalms, they write about the God who set them free, the God who took them through the Red Sea, the God who did this, the God who did that. It's helping them today to keep going, and that's what can help us to keep living for God. I love this little picture. I think I may have shown it to you before. I told you about it before. This was my Father's Day card this year from Amy. And this picture, beautiful picture on the computer for me, because she loves drawing and painting. But she wrote these words to go with it as well. Do not fear the journey, for he is there to guide you to the place where there are no storms. And that's a vital, this is the yoke of Jesus again, isn't it? His ways. Now, this is a promise I want to give to you this morning. Don't fear the journey, for Jesus is there to guide you to the place where there are no storms. Keep going, because one day we will be led to the place where there are no storms. So one, I'm going to run over a tiny bit, but I just would love to share this story with you. And I don't think I've shared it before. It's Charlie Mackesy who did the boy, the horse, the fox and the... Do you know that book? Yeah. And then it was turned into a film. And then he won an Oscar for it. So Charlie Mackesy is an Oscar-winning artist and writer. But he's talking here about a friend of his who's a hospital chaplain, and it's a lovely story of how right at the end of his life, somebody found Jesus in a quite unexpected way. I do have to warn you that there is a rude sign in the telling of the story, just because it's a part of what this person was before they met Jesus. So I just want to prepare you for that, but stay with it, because it's got a lovely outcome, this story.
And the last story I'll tell you is about a friend of mine who is a hospital chaplain. And he goes around, you know, chatting to people who are in hospital beds. And there was one guy who was in for a long time, and he said every time he walked past the bed, the guy would be in bed, and he'd just do that. That at the security ramp bars every time. Wee. Oh, there he is. All the time. So he'd go in there and he got used to it. He just got used to that. So every time he usually didn't, but he just smiled and expect that. And then one particular day he walked past and there was no back. He was just lying there. And as he was walking past, he said, "Oi." My friend looked at him and said, "Yes." And he said, "Can I have a word?" He said, "Sure." He said, "All right, I'm not being rude and everything, but I would just love to chat to you about what, you know, why you wear that white thing, what you believe." He said, "Sure, you know, what would you like to know?" He said, "Well, come on, tell me." So he told him about Jesus, he told him about grace, about forgiveness, about the love of God, about the relationship you can have with him, all the basic things, and that you can pray to him. And he said, "Well, how do you pray then?" He said, "Well, it's pretty simple, actually." He said, "Well, how do you pray then?" And he said, "Well," and he got off his chair and said, "Okay, that's your bed, there you are, there's a chair. Now you just imagine that Jesus is sitting in this chair and he's just loving you permanently. He knows you. And you can talk to him, so you can just say what you like." He said, "So what would you say?" And he said, "I'm pretty scared." Well, you can tell him. Very fragile man. And he said, "Well, what else would you say?" "That I've effed up my life and I'm sorry." "Great, that's honest. What else would you say?" "To know." "Well, you can be in silence, but just remember he's there. Just keep talking. You can listen if you like, but just keep talking. Remember that you're loved. Remember that he died for you. Remember that you're free. Basic stuff." So he said, "Thanks. I can see why you're a vicar. It sounds good." And then my friend got up and left. He was there a few days later, walked past the bed, empty. Spoke to the nurses, "Where is he? Have you moved him to another ward?" "No, I'm afraid." The staff nurse said, "No, I'm afraid he died actually 2 days after you were last here." And he went, "Oh, okay." And he said, "That's a shame." And she said, "Yeah, but you know, when he left the last time, he was all really, he was kind of bouncy in bed and kept telling us what you told him about the chair and this Jesus thing." And he said, "Oh, that's good." And she said, "Yeah, he was like really overwhelmingly kind of pleased about it all." And he said, and then he got a bit sort of, you know, so he started walking off. And the staff nurse said, "Oh, by the way, one other thing before you go, you should probably know, and it's a bit strange to tell you this, but I'll tell you anyway, that when we found him in the morning after he died, he was found in his bed, his hips were on the bed, and his chest was on the, he pulled the chair, his chest was on the chair, and his arms were wrapped around the back of the chair. And he died like that." And of course, my friend just started weeping. Because he realized that this guy, he'd understood the whole thing. He got it completely in a nutshell. The thing we struggled with all our lives, he'd understood that he was loved. The reason why he exists was because it was to love and be loved. And that he could rest his whole weight and his fragility on this Jesus, because you can put your burden on him. And he will sustain you because he loves you.
I love that. Yeah, this guy in his last days had discovered how he could put everything onto Jesus. He could rest his whole being, all that he was, on Jesus. So a little prayer. I'll pray this if you'd like to say amen to it as well. Please do. Please, Lord, help me to be a blessing to others today with all my quirks and frailty, with all my mixed feelings, with my faith and doubt and fears, with my foibles and questions and selfishness, with my love and hopes and longings, with my worries and clutter and thankfulness. Make me a blessing to others, please, in the way that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to sing our last song, which is very much a focus on Jesus, who's given everything for us. Lord, the light of your love is shining. As we stand, shall we say the grace to one another? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.